on, Jets and Jets Guru fans? Welcome to another episode of Jets Guru Audio Podcast with Daniel Smith and Kevin Robbins, your Jets Gurus. Listen, guys, I mean, we've been talking and talking and talking, but football is right around the corner as the Jets and three other teams have already reported somewhat. And things are going to be really underway next week as fans get to return and actually go to training camp practices, which is amazing because it's something that I really missed. I had the opportunity 2 years ago to go for the first time, and it was absolutely wonderful. And I had such a great time, and I'm glad that we're starting to get back to some kind of normalcy, at least for a little bit. You know, as things kind of look like they're ticking up, I hope it gets under control because I don't want to have these experiences fall to the wayside again. And then also, I want football. I want some clean football. We don't want to have important people missing in important times. It's just, I hate when that happens. And so let's hope that these athletes and everybody that's attending these events stay healthy. But this should be a great time for Jet fans. This should be a great time for football in general. You know, I honestly wait all year for this time, and it goes so quick. Just a couple weeks go by, and you're already in the preseason game. A couple weeks go by, boom, the season is right on your lap. I think the longest period of time is the time after preseason is over, and I think, what, it's like a week or two before the games start. And you're just like, oh, my God, those are the slowest days waiting for opening day. Which is going to be an exciting game for the New York Jets against the Patriots at home. So that's going to be an awesome game for Jet fans. I know I'm going to be tailgating for sure or whatever, you know, just having a great time. But I'm going to be alcohol-free as this has been 9 months. I'm not in AA or anything, guys. You don't have to clap me up or anything, just making healthy choices. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a new time, new quarterback, new Jets guru. New tailgating experience for me, so it's new training camp things coming on. So this is going to be great. It's a great time to be a Jet fan. And one of the things, Kevin, that still worries New York Jet fans, and rightfully so, and then unfortunately with the Sherman incident that happened, that was a guy that I think Jet fans are really, really excited about possibly bringing on as a late veteran addition. You know, he knows the playbook. He doesn't really have to do too much. And he figured, okay, maybe late in the season he doesn't get picked. I mean, late in the offseason he doesn't get picked up. And then the Jets kind of bring it on. It seemed like a seamless kind of thing to do with how green the Jets cornerback situation is. But he gets in trouble. And then you're looking around and you're saying, are we really going to start this young secondary like this without any protection? Kevin, I mean, it's tough for me. I mean, I like the guys that we have here, no doubt. I just feel like there just needs to be one more solid veteran, a guy that actually could play the position better than the young guys are here, because you don't want to bring a veteran on that's not even as good as the young guys that are coming after his spot. So, I mean, what are you thinking the Jets could do or what their options could be?
Yeah, I think, and we were talking about this a little bit before the show. I think Poole had to be an option, but at the right price. But I don't know if he was interested in coming back. I mean, that marriage might have been good to move on from. And for those who don't know, I think he signed with the Saints officially this morning. Mm-hmm. The other name that's obviously hot out there is Mr. Nelson from the Steelers, but nobody signed him, right? Like, and he's more of a slot corner. And with Echols and Guidry being brought on, you know, I don't know if we need a slot corner.
Right.
So, you know, if there becomes a guy that opens up through the training camp process, I think Joe Douglas is going to kick every tire. I mean, I expect him to. You always hear that we've spoke or we've touched base with this player or that player, even if we never get him. But I think he's going to do a lot of evaluation with the young corners. That's really what I think. You know, your great saying of saying Rome wasn't built in a day. Well, corner isn't the place he's tackled yet. And I think he's going to go with Hall. We got Pinnock. We got Austin. Jackson's coming back. And they're saying Echols can play inside and outside. I think they're going to see what the gap is this season and let the guys battle it out. That's how these guys, like Howard, develops in Miami, right? As a later round draft pick that comes up and develops into a number one corner. He had to get reps. And you got to go with the growing pains that go with that. And it goes back to what you're saying. The Jets are going to have to play complimentary football this year. The corners have some bad games. We're going to have to get a run game going and, you know, run behind our offensive line, keep the defense off the field, and put points on the scoreboard to hide some of our gaps while we figure out corner. Because I expect a high level of rotation. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
You know, if Pinnock's having a bad game, all of a sudden Echols is out there. Or that kid Isaiah Dunn that they said looked really good. You know, does he emerge and come? Guys, even the name you said, Richard Sherman, late round draft pick, right? Like a Dunn, like a Pinnock, you know, like Echols is kind of mid round, you know? That's a good guy to say it doesn't matter where they're drafted. Can they get him into this zone fit? And I almost think the Jets expect a couple guys to emerge because this is zone, because this isn't quite, you know, one-on-one matchups where you just haven't seen every trick in the book. You just need to be in your area and set those sets up correctly. I think the Jets expect to see someone emerge, but if not, we have two first-round picks to take one high, and no one will be shocked if next year we take a corner to go on the opposite side. The only other thing I want to caveat on everything I just said is – what is Bryce Hall at corner? Is he a solid number two, or can he take that next step? And that's the other thing I think we got to measure this season.
Absolutely, and those are all great points. And, you know, with Hall, I mean, he's going to have the opportunity again. That's a really green unit, and that's, and, you know, that's a great point. Let the guys play. You know, you got to find out what you have. And what better in a season where you have a rookie quarterback and everything is new, there's a new coach, you're installing everything from the offensive line to the – everything is new for this team and for its players. And so what better to test this out and test the young guys that you do have on the roster in a season like this, because, you know, in your second year, you're expecting to take the next jump. You're going to have money again in the offseason yep. next year to bring in a veteran if you do make that, you know, because here's the thing. If Zach Wilson takes that jump that I believe he can, and I predicted on Jets Guru that he will win Rookie of the Year, or he'll be very close to winning it in the discussion for sure. There's no reason why he shouldn't be able to do that. But as long as the Jets are healthy, the weapons that are here will have more than a few options going through his reads where he'll be able to find a player who athletically and physically should be able to do things. And so I think you look at Cole, you look at Davis, you look at Mims, you look at, you know, all these guys that they have more, all these guys, they all have the ability to do things, and we all expect them to have solid seasons, if not better than that. So yep. he's going to have options to throw to, including a rotational backfield. And all those offensive line moves that were made, now you're sitting here and you're saying this kid should have more than any Jets quarterback has had in quite a bit of time, both offensively on the weapons on the outside and at the line as well in recent memory, because the Jets, even though they've had a history of good offensive line the last 20 years, they've had quite a few good offensive lines. The last 5 years or so have been bad, like real bad, dude. And, you know, it's time now that the Jets have, they need to fix it. They need to know, hey, this is the quarterback. He's the most important position on the field. How about we protect that guy at all costs? And that's why I like that Joe went completely offense this offseason, because, again, like you said, it's a perfect time to let these young guys go ahead and do it, because you want to protect. You don't want another Sam Darnold. You don't want Geno Smith. You don't want these guys to keep popping up all the time. Again, when you make it to the NFL, you make it to the NFL because you're a talented player amongst your peers. And sometimes it's just the player. When you have a great surrounding and you have a good cast and the player fails, you could point at the player and say, man, he just wasn't prepared, or he wasn't good enough, or not ready. But there's a lot of times in the NFL where you're just waiting for your shot and you can't get there because someone's in front of you. The timing is wrong. I mean, there's so many quarterbacks, Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, the list goes on of guys who just didn't get in or weren't – just timing. Everything is timing, timing. For Zach Wilson, I just think the timing is right. I think it's timing for the Jets because mathematically, at some point, you make so many mistakes, you got to make a right one, right? I mean, it's bad, it's laughable, but seriously, I mean, just the math alone, you select a certain amount of quarterbacks, you have to eventually hit on one of those quarterbacks, and you hit on one that I think this offense is set up perfectly for him. I honestly think that he's more of an athletic quarterback than Sam Darnold is, which I think benefits him in this offense with the pre-snap movement, with the play action that I think eventually you'll be able to see with this team. I love the way they built this team. They built this team with strong receivers on the outside so that if your quarterback has to scramble, he has a little bit more protection. When your backs get on the outside of those tackles, you got strong receivers that might be able to hold their block for just a tiny bit longer so a guy like Ty Johnson can get around and then really get into a seam and go for a 15, 20-yard plus gain. When I just like the way it's set up. Everything was set up, I think, for each other. And even you look at Moses, you're like, oh, we got the left side of the line. Let's get Moses. Let's make, you know, Fant a swing and give us more depth. Now we don't have to reach when you know inevitably there's going to be an injury on the offensive line. So the Jets have done all these great things in the offseason, and so you can't fix Rome in a day. So now that we sit back and camp is about to start, we see where the Jets pick their poison. And they've chosen to pick their poison with the cornerback position, hoping that all the additions that they made on the defensive line makes the decision-making from the quarterback and the offense of the opposing team to be just a little bit faster and help protect your young guys on the corners. And I think that's a smart play because not only are you putting your young guys right in the line of fire to see and test them for a very important second year that's coming up, because you're going to have to make a decision, so you want to know if these guys are good enough, but also it should protect them. If your backers, and I expect the Jets backers to be fast, I expect them to have Mosley in the middle to be the anchor, to be the veteran presence that's there. And I expect these defensive linemen to really cause issues for the offense. The Jets have a bunch of different defensive linemen that do different things really, really well, from Fatukasi to Lawson to Williams. And then we're not even talking about veteran guys like Curry, and then you got Rankin. So there's a bunch of things that the Jets have done. So don't think that they just left the defense barren, guys. Let's not forget the cornerback position. Yes, there's not a veteran presence. There's not a lot of, I guess we could say right now, talent, because they are very young and untested. But the Jets have made a host of moves to make this football team better. I don't know if bringing a Steven Nelson makes this team all that better. As we talked about, before we started the show, Steven gave up 57 receptions last year. I mean, a guy basically had a season on this guy. I don't know, again, if you spread that out, how far ahead or how many other good corners. You know, I guess if you leave your defense out to dry a lot, that could be susceptible too. You know, if you're playing in the slot, you're going to give up a lot of receptions. You know, quarterbacks look there more often in that area than they would on the outside. And so I could see those numbers being higher, but his best year is in 2018. This is a passing league. Me and Kevin both agree. Somebody would have extended some kind of contract to Nelson if they really felt like he could have helped the team. You're telling me a playoff team? You're telling me a team like that doesn't need a corner like Nelson? I just think that I think he's going to wind up playing himself into a position where unless a good team has a bad injury at the wrong time or he drops his price way down, that he's just not going to get signed. And you want to get these guys in now. And which leads us to another discussion, Kevin, which is talking about the backup quarterback situation, because guys are really kind of getting worried out here. And, you know, like we discussed, to me personally, I think that the Jets should have brought in a veteran already. I think it's an important season in general, and you don't want it to slip away from these young guys. But in the same fashion that we talked about the cornerback situation, Joe did draft James Morgan, and maybe Joe just wants to see what these young guys have at certain positions that, honestly, you're looking at it, there's an excuse for the cornerback situation. Hey, listen, it's a rebuilding year. We got a new quarterback. We're installing everything for the first time. It kind of hides the fact that you don't necessarily need to go out of your realms and get a veteran cornerback because it's a rebuilding year. And I think maybe Joe is looking at that maybe with the backup quarterback situation, see what you have so you don't have to overextend yourself and bring in a veteran for no reason that may not even fit your system. Me personally, I want the guy brought in because I want the Jets to be able to have someone who does have talent. I've watched too many backup quarterbacks for the Jets suck, knowing that there's an injury every year and they can't perform the way there's solid backups all across the league. I'd like to have one. What is your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the preference would to have another guy in the classroom, on the sidelines, like just in Wilson's ear, right? That kind of big brother thing. And we've seen it a lot in Jets history, right? I mean, we should have kept Josh McCown, absolutely, right? I think that was a big mistake by the Jets. I don't think there's any about it. I don't know what happened with that or why. It made no sense. And even when he did have to pinch hit a couple times after he left here, I mean, he didn't have to be Deshaun Watson or, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. He was fine as a backup quarterback. So, and I think he was a big part of Sam Darnold's success his first year that he never saw again. But stepping away from that, yeah, I mean, your preference would be if Foles is a guy, there keeps being reports and rumors. I'm not saying what's true or not true. Of the names that's available, that one makes the most sense. Trubisky and Dalton.
He's buried on the depth chart, Nick. Yeah. Now they don't need him.
I mean, with what they have going on there with Dalton and Fields, you know, I'm sure something will get done, but I agree with you. I think Douglas is probably playing hardball. We've seen him do that before. I'm sure in his head he has a price he'd give up for backup quarterback. And I'm sure Chicago wants more, right? Or that deal will probably be done. So, yeah, I mean, it's not an ideal place. I totally agree with you. No, I don't think our backup quarterback is on the roster. And I know in our kind of chat that we had before the show started, it's, well, technically Morgan was, and maybe he can, right? When RG3 was a quarterback in Washington, Kirk Cousins was his backup. You know, as RG3 was getting hurt, Kirk Cousins was coming in and getting playing time. So, and they were drafted in the same draft, for people who don't know, first and fourth round. But anyways, you know, do the Jets trust Morgan? Like, as a fan, that doesn't make me feel good. Makes me a little queasy inside, right? But maybe that is the Jets' plan, and we don't know it. So I would prefer a Foles. You know, because I don't think Wilson can lean on a Morgan for recommendations and stuff like that. But, or game planning, or what does prepping for a game week even do entail? How does it change from week to week? How do you handle yourself during the bye week? Changing your nutritional diets, comparing notes on those types of things. Like, Morgan's not able to help Wilson on what that takes to be a franchise quarterback, you know? So yeah. I think LaFleur can. I mean, LaFleur has worked with a lot of young quarterbacks, and his family has worked with a lot of quarterbacks of all ages, I should say. So, you know, you'd prefer that guy on your roster, though. So I agree with you. The Jets should find a way to get a veteran on their team.
Absolutely. When you look at it, too, I think you're going, hey, it's a new regime, a new install. You really don't want a veteran there? Like, I mean, maybe they do like Morgan. I mean, because to me as a head coach, I mean, to just go in there that green at that position, knowing the injury history of not only the league, but the New York Jets, I mean, maybe you really do like Morgan at that point. And or maybe you chalk it up exactly to what we talked about. You want to see who everybody is on this roster. And the only way that you find out who a guy really is by allowing him to play or step into the role that he was drafted into. James Morgan was drafted to be a backup quarterback. That's what he was drafted for. And honestly, a lot of people question why the Jets even drafted him, where they drafted him. Well, he was a developmental guy that a few teams wanted around that area. And it seems like the Jets wanted him for a reason. And Joe is the one that drafted him. So I think when you look at it, you want guys, especially guys that you draft, to be able to have an opportunity to step into the role that you drafted them into and to see if they could be that guy. Because, you know, if someone looks at Perrine or someone looks at a guy like Morgan and they go, oh, well, that's a bust. Is he a bust? I mean, if you look at where they're drafted, if they play, you know, let's say James Morgan goes out there and Wilson's hurt for 2 or 3 games. And he's all right, you know, he's not great. Well, it's like, yeah, I drafted a guy that could hold the fort. I drafted the backup quarterback. You know, I drafted Perrine to be an interchangeable back. He's not a lead back. He wasn't drafted like a lead back. You look at a guy like Michael Carter, where he was drafted, he should play pretty well. He should have a season where he has a few hundred yards in a rotational field with a few touchdowns. Anything more than that, then you have maybe then Joe can really hang his hat on it. But I think at the end of the day, you don't want to draft guys to have them get buried. I think when you look at the Ravens philosophy, and it's something that me and Kevin talk about all the time about the Ravens and bring it up because it's a perfect explanation for how you draft and how you scout. You don't overpay for certain positions because you have talent behind it that could play just as good or close to it. And when you're doing that and you have a system set up, it's different. Like the Jets right now, they don't have anything set up. They don't have the depth quite yet. They're starting to build it, as you see on the defensive line, where, you know, if somebody was up for a big contract, it's like, well, we have a few guys on this defensive line where we could rotate. So it's different. When you have those options, you can let guys like Bart Scott just walk off your roster when it seems like he's emerging because you have a guy behind him. You can let guys like CJ Mosley walk off your roster because you have guys coming up behind them and you drafted them for a reason. And whether you fail or you don't, if you draft a guy in the third round, that means at some point you're expecting him to either be a very important rotational player or a potential starter. You draft a guy in the second round, you expect him to be a starter. You draft a guy in the first round, you expect him to be a starter. You draft a guy at certain places, and you got to let him play it out. You got to let him go out there and do it. And so in one sense, you say, man, this is tough. Remember, we're not building a Super Bowl winning roster right now. If we happen to make the playoffs this year for some reason, count that as being one of the best Jet seasons that you've ever seen and ever will see at that point. Because the Jets were a 2-win team last year with a rookie quarterback, a new head coach, new playbooks across the board, and tons of new players. The Jets are not supposed to win more than a few games. I see people talking about the Jets winning 11 games. Guys, you are going to set yourself up for expectations that are just that realistic. I don't know if it was because of the pandemic and you just didn't watch a lot of sports, but the NFL is still the NFL, and it is hard to win football games. And you can lose by just a few points and play a solid game, but it is hard to win. And a lot of times winning comes down to knowing how to win before. And this is going to be a very green team, especially right out the gate. I mean, you look at the linebacker position on the outside for the New York Jets. You got a lot of young guys. You got guys who are safeties, who are converting to outside linebacker. You have a lot of young green corners. Dude, it's going to be a lot of communication issues that have to be cleared up. And that's why I'm really big on keeping Mosley, and I'm happy that he's coming back and playing for the Jets this year. Because you need a veteran to kind of slow things down for these guys. Because it is going to be a bit hectic out there. It's not going to be easy. And it's a young team, and things can stack over a few weeks. All of a sudden, you're 0-4. And it's, you know, so temper the expectations a little bit and just enjoy the individual growth of the people that are on the field. seeing if Zach Wilson could chase and maybe be rookie of the year, put together a really strong year, seeing if Michael Carter could be a back for the future, seeing if Denzel Mims could be what we thought he could be drafted to, seeing if Elijah Moore could be a dynamic playmaker, seeing if C.J. Mosley can come back and be the Pro Bowl middle linebacker we all thought he could be, seeing if Blake Cashman could stay healthy and be a contributing factor on this team, seeing if Bryce Hall could be a starting corner for this team, and seeing if Ashton Davis and Quinnen Williams and some of the rotational guys, see if these guys can grow and take the next level and become stars. The players, it's about the players this year and seeing what you have, because next year there's going to be expectations, a step up in class. This is a tough AFC. It's a tough AFC East, and the Jets have to be really, really careful. So with that, Kevin, what are the expectations for you in camp? What are the two things or maybe the three things that you want to see leading into the preseason game that's going to get you fired up about the team going into the season that you want to see?
Yeah, I think we need to see we've talked a lot about young players emerging, and I think there's some position battles that's going to be outstanding to watch. And one of them we haven't talked today, we have historically, is outside linebacker, with Cashman and Davis kind of being the incumbents, and Nasruddin and Sherwood coming in as hot draft prospects with a lot of speed and a lot of versatility. Right now, that's a position group that has a lot of question marks that could really set the tone for the defense if we can get the right people in there, right? Yeah. So I'm very excited to see how that plays out. And corner is going to be one that you're going to be watching for every single day. I think that's something you're going to be watching for. And that's a position group that you'll be kind of following the highs and lows, because there will be. There's so many young players. There's you know, no way they're not going to have a bad day. But then how does that look in that first scrimmage against Green Bay, right? And I'm not saying against Aaron Rodgers, who I expect to go 8 for 9 for 160 yards. I mean, guys, he's one of the greatest all time, okay? Like, Rodgers, yes, you know, he's going to be Aaron Rodgers. But in Love, like year two, when we get down to it, we start looking at those linebackers and corners and, you know, how they mesh together and their ability to communicate and get all these new schemes in place, and who they think is looking the best in the schemes to get those rotations in, is going to be super interesting, you know, for all of us. You know, what we've seen historically of Mosley, Cashman, some of those names, that's not what they're going to be asked to do in this defense. And having some young guys that kind of come in learning at almost the same place as the veterans gives them an opportunity to get a, right? We haven't seen Cashman or Mosley or Davis or any names. So that means anybody can emerge from that group as a player. And I think that's exciting to see. And I think that's the same thing for corner. I think an underrated signing is LaMarcus Joyner, who's a veteran, established in the league. I mean, he's been on a Super Bowl team, right? Like, you know, he knows about preparation and put a communication and what it takes to be in a very highly functioned secondary. You know, even more so than May. I'm not saying May's not a better player. I'm just saying he understands the prep and the game plan and what goes into it and what he contributes. I think him versus Ashton Davis, does Joyner become a starter and be a big vocal voice? Because I don't even know how vocal May is. So I think that's going to be really interesting. How quickly do we build chemistry within our units? And that's on both sides of the ball. The offensive line might have more talent, but no one's ever played with Vera Tucker before, you know, when bullets are flying. And that's got to be something that the center and Becton, you know, they got to get on the same page very quickly, you know. And Wilson and McGovern got to develop, like, a good relationship. When are they comfortable with when Wilson's in a funk, leaning on the run game and vice versa, helping that set him up to get him out of the funk? Which is what? LaFleur and Wilson building chemistry and getting on the same page. So I think chemistry is going to be the thing that's just going to be a term that I'm sure we're going to talk about throughout the season. These units got it, and these units don't right now. And, you know, is Echols going to be the guy that emerges? Is Dunn a guy that emerges? Does Gildrey continue to play? And like we already talked about Hall, I don't know if Bless Austin, like, to me, that's going to be an interesting one, right? You know, and the defensive line, I think we're kind of just assuming that they're going to play well because they have maybe the most talent. But who emerges and who falls behind is going to be really interesting as well. Just because, again, new schemes. We don't know how these players fit in those schemes. Kyle Phillips, guy who looked great last year. I don't even know how he fits in this scheme, right? Outside, inside, what are we doing with Kyle Phillips? You know, Franklin Myers, Sheldon Rankins, Fadu Kassi, and Quinnen Williams rotations. You know, how does Bryce Huff and Vinny Curry, like, rotate in? Does Huff and Zuniga emerge at all? You know, there's going to be a lot of fun things to see. And I think that's what Jets fans got to continue to evaluate on a week-to-week basis and not count wins. I honestly think, and we talked about this before, what's the next thing you're excited to see? And I was you know, you already talked about going to the home opener. We've talked about going to, you know, there's going to be a big group of Jets fans in Charlotte. But I can't even get my head around what I expect to see that far ahead because of all the position battles we have between in the next month, right? Like, I don't even know who's starting at running back, receiver, corner, outside linebacker. I can guess three out of the four starting defensive linemen. So I don't know another defensive lineman. So I think all these battles, chemistry, and what they show on a week-to-week basis is going to be really fun. It's going to be really fun to watch.
Absolutely. It's going to be a ton of fun to watch. I mean, me personally, Ashton Davis, I mean, he drafted in the third round. We just spoke about it. That's an important time, I mean, important draft spot. For anybody, and you know, he's coming back from injury that he sustained in December, but you know, he should be right there starting, in my opinion. He has to. I mean, to me, you know, he has to. If he's healthy, he needs to be starting. You know, last year is his introduction to the league. This year, he needs to be starting. He's a guy that has a lot of athletic ability. He could be kind of like a ball hawk. In a sense, he has that ability to run in free space, and I want to start seeing it. You know, I want to start seeing some of that athletic ability out there because I think it could change how the Jets play, especially with a veteran like Marcus out there alongside of him. And so that's something that I really want to see. I want to see that matchup. I think that's a huge thing for the Jets, and it's a huge thing for the Jets moving forward because if the Jets can't work out something with Marcus May – and you have to move on from him at some point in the next year or two, well, then you've got a really, really green unit back there. If you don't think Davis can't be the guy that's going to be a starter and he projects more as a backup, then the Jets have to shift their position, and then you have to go after guys that you just had, and now they're gone. And I don't like doing that. And remember, we spoke about that, Kevin, once before, about how that's done with the wide receiver position. That's why I didn't want to see the Jets move on from Crowder, because then you got to replace Crowder. You know what I'm saying? So instead of improving on your team, you're just playing mix and match that with guys who do different things a little bit better or worse, but you don't get better as a team. You know, you get rid of Crowder. If you don't bring in a Cole, if you don't bring in a possible Moore, because if you get rid of Crowder for what? Then you have Berrios. Then you got to replace that and what we're going to bring in Curtis Samuels or J.J. Smith-Schuster. It's like, we've already got a guy who does pretty much what they do in the slot position. So it's like, when you build your football team, you don't want to get in the habit of getting rid of guys and replacing them with similar guys that do the same kind of production. So the Jets going out and getting Cole gave them protection if you went with just Cole and Berrios, but they even went out and got a guy like Moore who could play all over the field. So you have multiple protections, and they still hung on to Crowder because this team, I really do think they are very intelligent in the way they do things. Not perfect. They do make mistakes, but they do things very, very well. And so I think, to me personally, I think to get the Marcus May deal done somehow, some way that doesn't kill your football team over the next 3 years, I think that could be done. And then you have a guy with Davis where there's not so much pressure, and you can even do a rotation there at that position because you know you have a guy like May that's there, boom, right in the middle. You know you're going to most likely lose Mosley next year, and so you're going to lose another veteran at that position without a guy to really step in, and that'll be another growing pain next year. So this is going to take time, you know, especially on this defense. It's not going to be – the only way this defense takes a significant jump up is if some of these young corners outplay their expectations. If Bryce Hall presents himself as a number one corner, if Nichols presents himself as a guy who could slide in at the at the slot position and be an important guy. These types of guys, if they could somehow boost their draft stock into the next, I think the next position block, go from a second tier guy to a first tier guy, I think that's the only way the Jets take a big leap in the next year or two. You're just going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait until they bring in a veteran quarter next year. You're going to have to wait until they draft a solid middle linebacker who could be a guy that could replace Mosley, or maybe somehow they work something out with him moving forward. I don't know. The Jets will have a ton of options moving forward, both with the paycheck and with the draft options. You remember, the Jets have they could be players again in this draft, big players. And so then maybe you draft a corner next year and do something else. So I like the way the Jets are set up long term. I like the way their roster is set up. In a perfect world, yeah, I'd like a veteran corner. I'd like Marcus May to be taken care of, you know, and honestly, that's really about it. I think the Jets have done an outstanding job this offseason piecing together this football team. You can't really do too much with what they had to work with, more than what they've done. I mean, in one offseason, they've given you a new look on offensive line. They've given you a new quarterback, several new receivers, several new backs, new coach, new system, new attitude. I mean, you can't really ask more out of the front office. Now it's up to the players. It's their time to shine now. It's their time to go into camp and prove Joe Douglas right and where they were drafted and go out there and perform. And I think they will. Again, I think that Zach Wilson will win Rookie of the Year if the Jets stay healthy, or at least push for it very heavily. I think this team is set up to do those things. You know, I like what I saw from Herbert last year and how he grew as a quarterback. And that was because he had offensive weapons. Yeah, they didn't have the greatest offensive line. They had a lot of injuries at running back, you know, all these different things. But they had weapons on the offense to be able to supply Herbert last year. And I think the Jets have that this year. I think, you know, they have Zach Wilson down as one of the worst quarterbacks to come out of this class this year. And they're doing that based on it's the Jets. That is why they have Zach Wilson there. That is not anything to do with his talent or the roster that's put together. I mean, it's actually pathetic when you actually listen to some of these major marquee networks and their teams talk about the Jets when they have to do their AFC East predictions. And the things they say about the Jets, it's almost they didn't even look at free agency and see who the Jets picked up. They didn't look at the draft and see who they drafted. It's like they almost just went off of what the Jets were last year. And then, oh, it's the Jets, you know, and I don't know about the Zach Wilson guy. They didn't talk about Davis Moore. They didn't talk about Keelan Cole. They didn't talk about the Vera Tucker trade to the left side. They didn't talk about Morgan Moses on the right side to give the Jets, at the minimum, I'm believing, at least a top 15 line in this NFL. They're not talking about any of this. They're not talking about Michael Carter Jr. They're not talking about the rotational backs. They're not talking about LaFleur. They're not talking about Saul, who's a different person and look at everything from Adam Gase. They're not talking about any of that. But when you really look at it and look at the weapons that this kid has, if they do what they're supposed to do, there is no reason why Zach Wilson should not be Rookie of the Year or pushing very hard for it. And come back to me, and if I hit, give me my due credit, we'll come back to this episode right here and we'll talk about it, and I'll boost myself up even more. Because I'm telling you right now, there's no way this kid shouldn't succeed unless things start dropping off. Davis gets hurt. Becton's hurt again. Vera Tucker. And you know how it could happen like that, because we've seen it happen very well. It's happened all the time, actually. It's pretty much a standard of the New York Jets now, to the fact that it's almost like a curse, that we might have to go out there with some incense and some different things, because it's just weird what happens to the New York Jets with injuries. But I believe that this team is looking good, and they're ready to go into training camp and get started and kick this off and really just do a great job. I'm really super excited about this team, more than I ever thought, because I told myself I wouldn't get too excited until I saw them play. But because they did such an exceptional job from the top to the bottom, allowing Joe Douglas to do his work, everyone was allowed to do their job. And that's really what people only ask for in life, is don't inhibit me from what I want to do. Allow me to flourish and do what I want to do. And I think that's what the Jets are doing here. And it started with Woody Johnson. You got to give him some credit. He could have still been like the Washington Redskins owner we saw, or what we saw from the 49ers owner years ago for many years, when that team is going through slides. and what you've seen from the Lions and many organizations, the Jets and many organizations that don't do the right thing. And I think finally he said, you know what? I brought this guy, Joe Douglas, here for a reason. Let me let him do his thing. And I think you're starting to see that. And it's a good thing for the New York Jets. And so, listen, guys, you're going to see me out there at the 31st. You're going to see me out there on August 4th. And you're going to see me out there on August 7th. So if you see me in either the scrimmage at MetLife or you see me at Florham, either way, just say hi. Don't feel weird. If you see me, stop me. I love to talk to you. I got my vaccination, so I'm good to go. You can speak to me. I'm ready to go talk. I've been waiting to talk to people. You know, right as the show started to creep up a little bit, is right as all this really started to get knocked out. So I didn't really get a chance to meet all you guys. I met a few of you guys last season, but I want to meet more of you. So come up, say hi, and we'll talk Jets football. And so let's also congratulate Kevin, because he's going to be getting married pretty soon here next weekend or so. And so he's jumping into the pool with all of us. And so we wish him a safe trip wherever he goes and a happy and safe wedding. Kevin, any last words before we go?
No, thank you for the well wishes. It's 2 weeks till that day, so I might be able to join next week. We'll see how schedules work out. But, nope, super excited for the season to start. Jets fans, loaded with young talent. All these draft pieces have flooded the Jets roster with young players. We've talked about for a while, that's how you become the Ravens. That's how you become the Steelers. It's not because you hit all the time. It's because you keep flooding young players so you hit more often. And I think that's going to be an ongoing theme with the Jets. Rack up lots of young players. And some of these guys are going to emerge. And you don't want the problem to be that you have too much salary cap money to go into free agency every year. You want the problem to be emerged that you have like five super good players that you need to re-sign every year. And that you're probably only going to keep three. You know, and who are those guys going to be? I think there's going to be some legit, want to jinx it or anything, knock on wood, but there should be some Pro Bowl caliber talent coming out of this. And some of those guys have already started to emerge, guys like Elijah Moore, maybe the running back, Michael Carter. But there's going to be some of the guys on defense that when the bullets start flying, I think, like I said, those young linebackers, young corners, whether it's Hall or some of the new draft picks, who's going to be the 50% that Joe Douglas hits on? That are going to be guys we got to worry about resigning in the future. So I think this is a really exciting time, guys. So hang on to every article. You got a young quarterback developing. We joke the big story, or the next big story for the Jets is probably what Zach Wilson ate for breakfast, right? Who he's training with, what he's doing on the weekends, like how is he getting ready? So it's going to be a good journey, fun one to watch. And thank you everyone who tunes in and catches us.
Absolutely. And also Live Rounds is on a new day, right?
Yeah, well, we're on Wednesdays. We've had to pump the brakes because of business travel and stuff like that. So I will update the schedule once we have more details.
Awesome. And also, as always, check out Jets Guru Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time. New look, new style. Appreciate you guys. You guys are the best fans in the world. Keep being you. Jets Guru out. Peace.